Welcome. This is a sermon from Hope Community Church. We're glad you're here.
Okay, sorry for that. I was trying to get a video of the play, so we have that. It's always good to see. So thank you for being here. And again, a lot of you had to do extra effort to get your kids here, so thank you for that. And it's always fun to see the kids put that on. And we're very fortunate to have as many kids as we do. We're super blessed and grateful for that. So, yeah, thank you. So I'm going to just kind of follow up. Hold on one second. I'm just going to follow up with what they talked about and focus in on one part. And I was looking back through the years, and I focused on this idea at least two or three times. So it's something that you may have heard before. But for me, each time I go back and focus on this, it's just really meaningful. So hopefully, this will mean something to you as well. And here's the part that I'm going to focus on. Peace on earth. Okay, so let me explain why the Spanish is going across the bottom. And we're not trying to teach you to become bilingual. You guys are like, wait a minute, what's going on? So Javier's here. And Shannon from Ecuador, which I'm sure they had no interest in being introduced in front of everybody. But they, obviously, Javier grew up in Ecuador. And that is that's who we went as a church over to go and work in their community center. And so Javier only speaks Spanish, like I only speak English. And so this is one way to try to help serve them, is by having the Spanish text up there. Anyway, which would have been nice when we were in Ecuador. If I had English translations, I would have appreciated that. But anyway, so there's that. Okay, so let's take a minute and focus. So, peace on earth. That was talked about. So I don't know if you caught it, but there was a little line in there that they said, you know, peace to those that God finds favor of. And so as you're thinking about this, I want to just take a minute and go, okay, peace on earth. We were told, we're going to see Isaiah said that when the Savior comes, when the Messiah comes, there's going to be peace on earth. So hundreds and hundreds of years ago, or thousands of years ago. And then when Jesus came, it was proclaimed that peace was going to be on earth. And here's the issue. I look around, and you may be the same way, and say, I don't see peace on earth. In fact, I see on a worldview, I see conflict. You can look in towns, you see conflict. You can look in your home, and you see conflict. And you look at this and you go, wait a minute, something's not making sense. We're told that we're going to have peace, but yet I look around and I see conflict. What's happening? And part of that, I would say, is because, and this is the thing I've benefited the most from, is that peace has a bigger definition than just no war. There's more to that word than just not having conflict. And that's very true in the Hebrew language and also what the Old Testament is written in and also the Greek. So I'm going to just take a minute and kind of work through this and see if this peace on earth is true, and maybe it will have more meaning to you personally. So let's go through what you guys heard, which was in Luke 2, the story of Jesus' birth. I'm not going to read it all. I'm just going to go through a small section and focus on this idea of peace on earth. So in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, it says, she, meaning Mary, gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room or no lodging available for them. And that's the story that you're familiar with, right? Joseph and Mary and giving birth to Jesus. And then it says in verse 21, 8 days after his birth, he was named Jesus. He was actually, the name was given to him by angels even before he was conceived. So Jesus is, because that's his part of his title of being Messiah, the Savior. Okay, continue on. This is the part that a lot of times we don't read to when we're talking about the birth of Jesus. And this is really my favorite part. It said, at that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. Okay, stop and think about this for a minute. How long has he been waiting with no word from God about the Messiah coming onto the scene? Well, he had been waiting his whole life. And before that, there was about 400 years of silence. I have trouble waiting like a week for things. Like Amazon, when they take more than 3 days, I start to lose my mind. We're talking 400 years of waiting. And still devoting his life to this anticipation of Jesus, I'm sorry, of God restoring that broken relationship. Remember, God, after man, humans, had disobeyed God and caused sin, remember that God didn't leave them. Instead, he pursued after them and ultimately said, I'm going to make this right one day. And so here's this man, Simeon, waiting for that to happen. The Messiah is the promised deliverer who would rescue anyone who believes, the Jews and Gentiles, right? This is going to be available to everyone. And then continuing verse 25 into 26, it says, the Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Okay, so imagine that. Hundreds and hundreds of years of nothing, and now all of a sudden, he's been told, you're going to see the Messiah. You will see him. That would change your day, right? And then it goes on, says, that day the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law had required, that's the firstborn son was to go to the temple, and that was just all part of the ritual, the requirements. Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying this, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised, as I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel. So this is Simeon's response to that long wait of now holding the Messiah, the one that was promised at the beginning of humanity. And he says, now I can die in peace. Okay, so again, you're sitting here and you may be like, okay, what I mean, die in peace, I guess it means like you just kind of, you know, hopefully you don't suffer and just kind of die. Right? That's how we think of it. I don't think that's what he thought when he said that. And this is what I want you to hear. Okay, go ahead. So again, for peace, we often think of it being without conflict. Okay? But there's more to it. It's this. You're going to see that peace can mean when something is complete or whole. This expanded definition changes everything. Again, peace can mean without conflict, but it also can mean something that's whole or uncut, not partial, but whole or complete. So let me show you this verse. Josiah 8:31, it says this, or Joshua, I'm sorry. It says, make an altar from stones that are uncut and have not been shaped into iron tools. What is a stone that is uncut, that is whole, that is complete? That word is peace. Shalom is the Hebrew word, we can translate that to mean many things. It can mean peace, but it can also mean, I'm changing the word peace now. Like, it can mean our English word for peace, or it can mean a different word, which is uncut or whole. But it's the same Hebrew word, shalom. Okay. So it says, it can also mean this. It says, this term, shalom, can refer to an act of reconciling or healing relationships. So when you see in the Bible, it talks about bringing peace to relationships, it doesn't mean, oh, we stopped fighting. It means it can be made whole. It can be made complete. Right? You know relationships when they're whole and they're complete. That's shalom. You're bringing shalom. You're bringing peace into that relationship. So, for example, in Proverbs 16:7, it says, when people's lives please the Lord, even their enemies are at peace with them. They're complete. Their relationships with their enemies are whole. Okay? So, this is the part that is, I think, really worth reflecting on, meditating on. It says, Isaiah looked forward to a future king that would one day bring this wholeness or this completeness. Okay, just let that sit for a second. Isaiah, way before Jesus was born, was looking forward to a king to a king who would rule in a way that would bring wholeness or completeness. Up to that point, all kings have done, human kings up to that point, have caused wars, mostly wars and fractions and trying to make their kingdom bigger and just causing all kinds of problems. And Isaiah is saying, one day there's going to be a king that doesn't do that. Instead, one day there's going to be a king that makes everything whole and complete. So look at this verse, Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. Isaiah, looking forward, says, for a child is born to us. He will be called Prince of Peace. And his peace, his shalom, will never end. So what was Isaiah looking forward to? A day when relationships are going to be made whole, when relationships are going to be made complete, specifically relationship with God. Up until this point, the relationship with God is broken. It's not complete. And what Isaiah is saying is, guys, there's a day coming where that relationship's going to be made complete. It's going to be made whole. That is what caused Simeon to just devote his life to waiting for this Messiah to come, to make that broken relationship whole. So, the birth of Jesus, by a very young couple up here, that was the arrival of peace. That was the arrival of something that was broken that can now become whole. The Greek word is eirene. Eirene is peace. So Jesus' birth, as it was said many times, was the arrival of peace. Now, think about this for a minute. When Jesus comes onto the scene, and we're saying he brings peace, does that mean there's no more wars? No, that would mean we're just looking at absence of conflict. But is there peace? Is there wholeness? Or is there something that's made complete that never ends because of Jesus coming onto the scene? Yes, that is our relationship with God. That is why you keep seeing over and over peace on earth. Another way of saying that is completeness, wholeness, restored relationships on earth with God. That's what that means. That can only happen with Jesus. Again, I feel like we miss this when we just read peace on earth. Like, yeah, peace, you know, peace is kind of a good thing. Like, why not? It's better than war. No, we've missed it. We've missed what's being offered by God. God is saying, I can restore, I can make whole your relationship with myself, with God, with me. He's saying that. And that happens only one way. That's through a Messiah. That is Jesus. That is Jesus willing to leave his place in heaven as God, come to earth as man, live a sinless life, and then pay the penalty for sin. And we saw this in the very beginning. What is the penalty for sin? What is the penalty for living a life independent of God? It's death. It's death. That's when we look around and we see death, that's a result of sin. And so that penalty had to be paid. And that's what Jesus, that's why he died. He paid that penalty. Why? To make peace. To make wholeness, to make complete, to make us complete with God. Right? I love that picture of that verse with the rock being like a complete rock that's building a wall. Right? It's got to be complete. It's got to be a whole rock to go in there to make that wall. And that wholeness to make that wall, like that completeness, like I just have this vision. It's kind of hard to explain. I'm not doing a good job at it, but I picture that wholeness is like what is being offered to me because of believing in Jesus' death and resurrection, is that relationship is made whole. So anyway, let's go on here. In Luke 2:13, going back in that chapter, it says, suddenly an angel was joined by a vast host of others, armies of heaven, praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest heavens, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Yes. Yes, that's it. So let me go back for a minute. So when I said peace on earth, we look around and we don't see peace on earth. We're looking at the wrong type of peace, is what I would say. There is peace on earth. That is unbelievable. And it's all of us who have put our trust in Jesus, we have peace on earth. Our lives should be radically changed because of this. Think about that. We no longer have to fear the biggest fear in our lives, which is death. We don't have to fear that now. Why? We have peace. It doesn't mean I don't have conflict in my life. What it means is I have restored relationship with God. I have wholeness. I'm complete. I can be scared of the idea, but I don't have to fear it. I've been made whole. There's peace on earth. All of us have this offered to us. This is incredible. Again, peace on earth means so much more than just talking about wars. Jesus restored to wholeness the broken relationship between humans and their creator, i.e. God. That's it. He's restored it. That is incredible. That is what motivates me to love and good deeds. You should never hear from the pulpit something about this idea of doing good to get God's favor. That's called legalism. The only reason we do good is in response to God making peace with us. That motivates me to love and good deeds. We never call anyone to do good deeds because, you know, then God's going to love you more. That's false teaching. So this peace that I'm talking about has the power to cause you to stop being a self-focused jerk, which we're all naturally bent towards, to loving others. It's the only thing that will do that, is understanding this wholeness that we have. Romans 5:1 sums it up this way. It says, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done. Yeah, we have peace, we have wholeness, and that changes everything. So this story that we saw played out this morning is the only story that I know that can change individuals, that can change countries, that can change the world. This story right here. This idea of peace being offered to all of us between ourselves and God. Go ahead. So back to Luke chapter 2, verse 29, it says, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you had promised." Simeon has seen the deliverer, the Messiah, and he knows his relationship with God has been restored to wholeness. He's complete. And I want you to all just to contemplate, where are you at with God? Do you have that wholeness that you see Simeon just delighting in and just having so much joy and confidence in his relationship with God because of the Messiah, not because of himself, because of what God has done, not what he's done? You know, I just want you to think about, where are you at with that? And it's pretty simple. If you're like, man, I don't know where I'm at. Well, then I would ask you to consider this gift that was given, which is Jesus, that he was God, that he was man, that he really came. By the way, it's 2023 for a reason. Right? Something big must have happened on year zero. That was this. Okay? It was a major event, the birth of Jesus. I want you to just think about it. Like, is there, so he came, he was born. Okay, so I do recognize that I don't have a right relationship with God. And there's nothing you can do to make yourself right. You've tried that. You're like, okay, I'm going to stop being a jerk, and you still are. Okay, that doesn't work. Sorry. My wife always says, do you have to call people jerks? I don't mean to. I'm sorry. So you've tried everything, and you're starting to get tired. At that point is exactly where God says, trust me, believe me. I will make you right. I will make you have peace. I will make you whole. And then that's it. You trust and you believe, and then you just walk, continually walk with God, and he will continue to make your heart, that stone, become flesh. One that is loving and more start to become more and more interested in other people, little by little. Go ahead. This is Colossians 1. The same wholeness is offered to us. It says, "For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ, and through him reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross." There it is. Peace. Wholeness. It's offered to us. I hope you accept that gift. So when you see peace on earth, I hope it has a little more meaning to you. I want you to just think wholeness. Complete. Let me pray for us. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for Christmas as a time to just sit here and just reflect on the fact that you came to this earth 2,000 years ago with a purpose, and that is to make peace with us. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.